The primary election is almost here. Vote centers will be open May 7th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Make your vote count. Visit vote.indy.gov for more information. This message was paid for by the Marion County Election Board.
Good morning. It is Thursday, April 18th, 5 minutes after 10. You're listening to the Kendall and Casey Show on 93 WIBC. I saw this headline, an interesting article in Business Insider. I thought it might be fun to talk about it.
Oh.
Young American men are blowing their money like never before.
Well, that sounds uplifting and is definitely, absolutely, without a doubt, a recipe for long-term financial stability for our nation, Casey.
Yeah, they go on to say that in the 80s, young men were fed movies like Wall Street, and they were shown flashy cars and money and told that greed was good. And then in the 90s and the early 2000s, they were sold more traditional forms of gambling and poker. But now, young men are being marketed sports betting and crypto like never before. And isn't that the truth? Because back in the day, if you wanted to gamble and risk some of your money, you had to physically walk into the casino.
Right.
But now you've got a casino on your phone. You've got sports betting on your phone. You can do the crypto on your phone. There's meme stocks and just a more complex way of spending your money.
Well, we talked about this
easier way.
We talked about this quite a bit, and whether it's, you know, the dating world or this, we have eliminated largely the need for in-person contact and interaction. And that's a pretty dangerous rabbit hole for people without kind of a knowledge base or understanding to be interacting with, because you can get sucked down. You see it with things like with pornography, where people just can spend their whole days consuming stuff because it, by design, becomes addictive. They're businesses. They want to extrapolate money from you. And, you know, look, you got to be, when you're doing sports betting, and, you know, Hammer will tell you this, you got to be pretty disciplined in terms of, especially if you're going to do it a lot, the amount you wager, how you do it. Because you end up just, it consumes you. And it's one of the things that's like, basically when the NCAA tournament ends for me, other than the golf tournaments, mm-hmm. I just don't bet until football season the next fall.
Take a few months off.
Like, I've always kind of put that guardrail around myself. Yeah, okay, I'm going to, because what happens is then you got to watch the event you're betting on. And then you become engrossed in the event you're betting on. And now, instead of being a good parent or husband or whatever, mm-hmm. now I'm focused on, am I going to win $5 on Wisconsin and Nebraska? Like, the $5 doesn't even matter. And so your whole vortex can become just swallowed up. Your whole life can be swallowed up in this vortex if you don't have guardrails. And so many young people, they don't have the life experience. They don't have the mentors. They don't have any of that stuff necessary in order to do all of these sort of things responsibly.
Well, and there's also the fact that there's, you know, the mortality. I'm going to live forever. I've got all time in the world to make money and save money. So Pew Research says that it's men and people under 50 who are likelier to bet on sports versus women or people who are over 50 years old.
Sure, but let's stop. I know then the story's about men, but let's talk about women for a second. And you're very wealthy because you've been very smart with your money, so you may not understand this, but I think you have a young daughter. The online world is also, I think, largely probably swallowed up a lot of younger women too, because of the access to online shopping, the instantaneous ability, see purchase, see buy, mm-hmm. you know. And again, unless you have immense discipline, which is learned usually over time rather than some sort of inherent thing, it's very easy for people to blow through, women to blow through large sums of money the same way it is for men.
Just as easily. The one thing that they cite in this article is that men tend to take more financial risks than women, and they're more prone to overconfidence.
Right.
And that's why they may potentially be betting online more. And there's also, you know, day trading. And even video games now have an element of betting to them.
Do you I'm a terrible person to talk about this with because I still have the first nickel I ever made. But are you a person who, if you don't see the money going out, it's easier for you to spend it? Like, what I'm saying is, if I gave you $100 mm-hmm. and said you have $100 on a credit card or online, or you have
a physical
$100, would the physical $100 last you longer than the virtual $100?
No, I don't think so, because I'm a person who checks the account all the time.
Okay, now let's talk about your daughter. She's mm-hmm. also very responsible, so probably a terrible... Kevin, let's talk about you for a second, shall we?
Oh, she's a saver.
Yeah.
I mean, she got that from
Kevin
her dad.
Kevin strikes me
sure.
as the sort of guy that's made several terrible financial choices in his life. Kevin, if I gave you 100 physical dollars or 100 virtual dollars, do you think there would be a difference in terms of how fast you go through the $100?
I would save it. I don't gamble or anything, so...
You just go to concerts? Are terrible for this. Who do we think... Who can we call in here who we think's terrible with money?
Where's Kurt Darling at? No, I have no idea.
But who do we think in the newsroom is the worst with their money? I'm on Donnie Burgess.
I was going to say, it's got to be Donnie,
but
right?
you get what I'm saying, is that for many people, it's not real. If it's not in front of you,
yeah.
it's not real, and thus it becomes easier... to spend.
Yeah. Sounds like you're going to go into a girl math.
Here's a
monologue.
Here's a great example of this for someone like me. So I talked about how I have finally, after a great NCAA tournament and the Masters, mm-hmm. I have finally gotten my account even for the year. So my hobby has cost me literally, I'm actually plus in the account. So I'm literally ahead money for the year for my hobby. How many people can say their hobby pays the money? But the point is, that during football season, I got way behind just because I was bored at work and I was making stupid bets. I knew they were stupid bets when I was making, but I was like, oh, it'll give me, you know, something to do for 3 hours while I'm sitting here, whatever. Well, I ran out of money in the account. And again, it's not a huge amount of money, but I had to actually put money in my account mm-hmm. in order to keep the thing going. And that's when it dawned on me, okay, now I'm losing real money. When it was just the virtual money that had been in that account forever, I was like, oh, it's not even money. But then I had to take money out, and I thought, I got to get serious about this because yeah. I actually just put real money into this
thing. You spent the promo money that they gave you when you started up, right? Do you ever do any of like the free trading apps like Robinhood or any of that?
No.
Okay, well, in 22, Americans spent $93 billion on gambling, and that number has gone up to $119 billion on sports gambling.
That's
last year.
Colossal amount of money.
That's because it's right there in your pocket.
And let's be specific. Everybody should spend their own money as they see fit. However, we would highly encourage you to do that in a responsible manner, which means don't bet more than you're prepared to be okay losing.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and let's do this.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great.
Is the mic ready? Yes. Trump's strong. I'm going to do it.
Nobody knows the game better than I do. Nobody knows.
No, get those lights off. Off! Turn off the lights!
Crooked Hillary!
Sleepy Joe!
Little Marco!
Little Rocket Man!
Look at those hands. Are they small hands?
All right, let's talk about Donald Trump for a minute. His campaign is asking.
Do we have a Trump stager?
For a cut.
Is that our stager
that's
now?
That's it.
So every time we talk about Trump. That's...
Not every time, but maybe occasionally.
Yeah, I put some hours into stew yesterday.
That's
putting
pretty good.
That together.
I like
yeah, thank
that.
You.
That's very well done.
It lets you know, hey, we're going to talk about Donald Trump.
Okay, all right. So we're talking about Trump.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
We're talking about how his campaign is asking for a cut of the down ballots, fundraising and campaigning.
Trump wants a taste.
He does.
He's Tony Soprano.
Yes.
Okay, so this, I actually, when I saw this, I chuckled. But now, the more I think about it, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. is it really all that different than kind of like the real business world? Which, so what basically Trump is saying is, if you're going to use my name or image or likeness in an ad.
He's got his own NIL deal going.
Yes, I want 5%. I think he's asking for 5% of all fundraising solicitations.
Yep.
So he's saying, if you're going to run ads saying so-and-so is endorsed by Donald Trump or so-and-so supports Donald Trump, Trump's saying, you're getting elected off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I want a cut of your donations.
Yeah. It's to and it's also, he says, to dissuade scammers from using his brand without his permission.
Yeah.
So you have to be officially endorsed by Donald Trump. So for example, here in Indiana, Mike Braun, right?
Yeah.
Has been endorsed by Donald Trump. You see Donald Trump's face on any literature for Mike Braun.
Right.
Trump, what's a cut of it?
Now, while I initially laughed at this and said this is ridiculous, the more I think about it, if indeed you believe he is the reason you will get elected, which Braun clearly does,
mm-hmm.
doesn't Braun owe something to Trump? I mean, let's face it, that was a huge benefit for Mike Braun was when he got that Trump endorsement, and they did press releases and there were newspaper articles and he's running ads prominently saying that. He mentioned it in at least one of the debates that he was endorsed by Trump. Isn't that sort of fair? If Trump is going to hand you the office, if you believe Trump's endorsement or blessing or whatever is going to hand you the office, isn't 5% a reasonable ask?
Okay, but don't we get into kind of a pay-for-play territory? Now, does this mean that Trump is only going to endorse somebody who's got a big, deep pocket? Because then he knows he's going to get a cut of it?
Well,
doesn't that kind of water down the endorsement?
But Trump has no idea who or what he's endorsing anyway. Look at some of the people he has endorsed. We've laughed about it hysterically. Some of the, you know, he endorsed Greg Pence. My favorite thing with Braun is how they keep talking about how Braun is, and his kid was here, Donald Trump Jr. was here. Braun's some sort of outsider. Mike Braun is the antithesis of an outsider. He's the exact opposite of an outsider. He's a career politician who has used his wealth to move his way up the ladder from local school board to United States Senate, and is now trying to use that power and influence and connections and insider status to become the governor. So they don't know who they're endorsing or supporting anyway. Why not bring a few bucks in for your own campaign account?
Well, it's one way to enlarge your bank account for sure. In the meantime, he's still in that hush money trial, which began in New York. They're looking for 11 more jurors, and that trial is expected to last about 6 weeks and could hinder, of course, him hitting the campaign trail. It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Hey, Rob, guess what?
Yes.
It's back.
What's back?
It's back on the circle.
What's back on the circle?
It's back for the summer.
Oh, my gosh.
Circle.
How exciting. Is it that stupid little village of plastic chairs and AstroTurf?
Yes.
Oh, damn, I was being facetious and I was right. Well, hot dang.
Spark on the Circle returning, and we're going to talk about it coming up from 93 WIBC.
Admit it.
What?
Just admit it.
Yes.
You were blown away with how little I've actually aged over the past 14 years.
Yeah, I think the only difference I really notice is your face is a little fuller now.
Yeah, you're fatter now, but
No, because the rest of you doesn't look any different.
Yeah.
From what I can see in the picture.
I found an old photo of myself. So I would have been 26. I'm 40 now, and I was doing talk radio in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And I posted it at Robin Kendall on Twitter. You can go see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm amazed. I mean,
you haven't changed a bit.
No.
You've got good genes.
Yeah. Well, this is what I said. I think my dad, this is my dad's side of the family, because he looked pretty much identical till he was about 50 years old or so. I mean, he still had a full head of hair and everything.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at that last night going, look, I'm the last person to, I was going to do this as our rainbows segment today. And I thought I can't do a whole segment on how good you look. How much youthful beauty I still have. That'd be a little vain even for me.
But, Kevin threatened to zap you. He's like, get the zap ready.
Full self-indulgent.
But I will say, you can see it over at Robin Kendall. I feel pretty good. Compare me to other people from 14 years ago and how much they've changed. I think I'm.
Well, with your new hair and all.
I asked my wife last night. I took the phone. It was on my phone, and I blew it up and put it right by my face. And I said, would you have married this guy? And she's like, I did marry this guy.
Right. The more mature version of that guy.
How about this guy then? She's like, I didn't know you back then.
I like the way she's getting out of answering the question.
And then she pointed out how old she would have been 14 years ago. And I was like, all right, on next topic.
Change the subject. No, you do look relatively the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Great genes. God is good to me.
I get told that I look younger than what I am.
You did. I had no idea you were 61 years old when I met you.
You're so mean. You know what? I take all the nice stuff back. You don't look good. You look old. You're shriveled up. You're graying. You're fat.
Speaking of old and shriveled up and graying and fat, let's talk about what's going on with the Circle, shall we?
Spark on the Circle returning to downtown Indianapolis this year. Second year they're doing this, Rob, and it was such a success last year that they're starting it a month earlier.
Success
this year.
By what standard?
I don't know. It's going to run from June 1st through November 3rd now.
So think about this. This is how poorly this city is run. The circle, the monument circle, the monument itself is the epicenter of the city. It's an attraction that is known all across the country. Anytime you know, sporting event is here, whether it's Monday Night Football or whatever. There's always, you know, kind of the aerial shot. They always get the circle, mm-hmm. you know, lit up. Certainly during Christmas, it's the world's largest Christmas tree. The Monument Circle, where we are located at, and the monument itself, Soldiers and Sailors Monument, is one of the most important parts of the city of Indianapolis. And part of the charm of Monument Circle, since I was a boy, and obviously well before that, before I was, you know, on the taking oxygen, et cetera, was you could come downtown and you could visit the thing. You could literally drive around mm-hmm. Monument Circle. It was, you know, these old bricks and streets, and you think about history. And in Joe Hogsett and the city council's infinite wisdom, their response is, let's eliminate that. Let's make it impossible to for motorist traffic to venture on Monument Circle.
Yeah, brilliant. So contemporary, you know, seating. They're going to have seating, temporary
it's
seating.
It's ugly.
Synthetic turf.
It's ugly.
Vending services.
You know what it looks like? How in the desert people, you know, they don't have grass, so they'll just throw a bunch of AstroTurf down, mm-hmm. and they're like put, you know, but except it's like plastic.
Yeah.
Like the stuff is ugly. It is stupid. And it just, you take something that is this beautiful thing that has this cool, you know, cool vibe about it. The fact that motorists can be downtown and you have pedestrians and motorists alike kind of living in the stew together. And then you can walk onto the circle. And it's just, they just ruin everything, Casey. They ruin everything.
It's going to be in a new location, relocated to the Northwest
quadrant. So it's not in front of us this year.
It's not going to be directly in front of us this year.
Oh,
but, you know,
exciting.
Kevin and I were out on the balcony yesterday or 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
And we were looking down at the monument.
Wait.
There was nothing nefarious going on.
Get your mind out of the gutter, Casey.
Yeah.
This is a family program.
I know.
I was more concerned about why I wasn't invited.
You were gone already.
Oh.
Yeah, it was after the show.
Yeah, we were taking a break after we were done writing our articles for the day at WIBC.com. And we said, hey, let's just go check out what's going on in the circle. And we noticed, how long has that construction been going on? And how long is it going to continue? Will they have the construction of Monument Circle complete by the time they put Spark on the circle?
Well, my issue is the construction. That's Market Street you would walk down to get to the State House. I worked for the state of Indiana in 2013, 2014, 2015. They had those big guards up mm-hmm. then. Like, I distinctly remember stuff going on there then. That can't have been the same project that those people have been working on for 10, 11, 12 years.
Well, I don't think so, but it seems to
nothing
be taking
ever finishes.
A long time. Yeah, it's this ongoing project. So they say that the space, the Spark on the Circle, is going to have expanded programming and hours. It's going to include evening activities.
Activities?
Year.
What, hopscotch?
Music, arts, culture opportunities,
culture
and games.
Opportunities.
Isn't there going to be table tennis, ping pong?
Well, there was last year. Maybe that's part of the games, right?
You agree with me, right? That last year was ugly and ridiculous.
You know, I did go down and kind of visit it last year a couple times. And, you know, they had the cornhole down there and the ping pong tables. And it was nice to spend an afternoon down there, but I don't know. The plastic, the AstroTurf thing, you're right. It's not the most attractive.
It's ugly.
Like there are some fun activities and food vendors and stuff, but aesthetically, it looks pretty bad.
Then have them at the Children's Museum.
Yeah.
Have the children's-based fun activities at the Children's Museum. Don't do them on Monument Circle where people are trying to conduct business and commerce.
Well, that motorcycle that Kevin and I saw the other day, it went around the circle like three times.
Yeah.
He's not going to be able to do that once Spark on the
Circle.
No
fun of any kind.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. We've got your voicemails coming up. It's 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business. At HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
See.
It's time want to hear from you. Kendall and Casey present Voicemails. Brought to you by QC Kinetics for non-surgical regenerative medicine treatments at 317-559-PAIN.
The interactive portion of the program, we turn it over to you and let you express yourself with your thoughts. I wanted to let our listeners know there's another way they can express their thoughts, and that is at WIBC.com. Right now, we have the WIBC GOP primary voter survey.
Oh, how exciting.
As we're gathering information on who you'd like to vote for.
I just go over to WIBC.com.
And look for the GOP primary voter survey.
Yeah, there it is. It's right there in the center. Boom. Now, I took this thing.
I did, too.
Yeah. I wonder if we voted the same.
Well, we're not in the same district. So
oh, that's right.
I doubt we voted exactly the same.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So you can just take your little survey. Mm-hmm. They ask, trying to just find out where our audience is at. We love you, and we want to know where you're at on things, and tell us how you're feeling this election season.
How long did it take you? Just a couple minutes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not even that.
Yeah.
I'm a computer whiz, Casey. Mm-hmm. Click, 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 click. I'm out of here.
You didn't need help or anything?
No, absolutely
figured it
not.
Out. So if Rob can do it, so can you. And it's over at WIBC.com. Now, the phone number for your voicemails is 317-684-8444. See all the different ways that you can become involved
Absolutely.
In the programming here. And our first phone call is about music. And later in the program, we might take a music challenge. We'll see if you're up for it, Rob. But we have the conversation about James McCartney and Sean Lennon.
Oh, no.
How they put out that song.
Oh,
and
no.
We talked a little Beatles. And here's a phone call about that.
Hey, you guys did a nice little feature on the Beatles this morning. If you really want to have some fun, check out the Ruttles. That's R-U-T-L-E-S. They have two albums out from a while ago, and they are kind of a spoof on the Beatles. So I believe Eric Idle with Monty Python was behind it. Their songs are as Beatlish as you're going to get for not being the Beatles, and they're all kind of satirical. A lot of fun to listen to. And worth your time.
That sounds like something that might be up your alley, because you like to make fun of the Beatles.
Sure.
And it sounds like that's what this band is doing.
That would involve me subjecting myself to something that sounds like the Beatles,
that's
though.
That's true. But satirical
no.
lyrics?
But you like Weird Al, so you'd probably, I think you would
Weird
love
Al. Those. Weird Al is not, I don't recall any Weird Al spoofing the Beatles. Like,
Weird Al is a spoof on everything.
What we played yesterday wasn't even the Beatles, though. It was the two kids.
The children
of Lennon and McCartney, who clearly have not been able to find their way towards whatever they've been seeking. So now they've said, we'll attempt to capitalize on our famous parents. And they auto-tuned the heck out of
James
some sort of collaboration. And it was, when you enter if you're unfortunate enough to enter the gates of hell, I don't know what it sounds like, but it probably sounded a little bit like what we were subjected to
now,
yesterday.
Now, here's the thing with Sean Lennon. He's been in the music world forever. I mean, that's what he started doing.
Like, if you're John Lennon's kid and you can't become a star, that's on you.
It's kind of like, I feel like the music, it's part of his DNA.
If Sean,
he's been around it. He's, his dad known for it.
If Sean Lennon, Kev, this might be more of a you question. If Sean Lennon said right now, I am playing the Vogue on May the 20th, could Sean Lennon sell out the Vogue?
I think people would just see him because he's John Lennon's son.
What is there to see, though?
Yeah. He's more of a back end, though. Like, he does behind the scenes. He's more of a producer.
Well, clearly not. He's involved in this.
But see, the thing is, he produced this record more than he performed on it. And I think this is James, Paul McCartney's son, who's really the one who's being more of the grifter.
Okay, let's flip it. What's his name? What's this kid's name?
Who, James?
James.
That's Paul's kid.
Paul's kid is named James.
Who released the record and did all the singing.
Okay.
It was Sean who did all the production.
If James McCartney, I didn't even know this was a human being until yesterday, Casey. If James McCartney were playing the Vogue, could James McCartney sell out the Vogue?
I don't think so.
No!
I don't think so. And that's much more of a common last name, too. So you'd be like, oh, that's related to Paul. Didn't know that.
Do you know how bad you have to be Paul McCartney's kid and you're not even good enough to be able to sell it to Vogue? The prosecution arrests, Your Honor.
Okay, moving on. We had a big conversation about Red Lobster and how they're considering for filing for bankruptcy and how we've been trying to convince Kevin to go to the all-you-can-eat shrimp buffet, which I don't think is available anymore. Part of the bankruptcy problem, yeah. Perhaps. Here's a call about Red Lobster.
Yeah, Kendall, Casey, me and people like me from the past used to go to all-you-could-eat shrimp at Red Lobster, and I ate 144 of them. And then I got a little ticked because they accused me of having my wife eat some. She had none. So anyhow, people like me, of course, this was back in 2010 when I was 240 pounds. Now I'm 190, and I can't even eat a double. So yes, take it easy. It's all my fault.
It's his fault that they're going bankrupt because he can't eat as much shrimp anymore.
You know,
144.
You know you've eaten a lot of shrimp when they start accusing your wife.
Right? You had help. I wonder if he like broke out in a sweat after that. Like, you know, like the meat sweats? Is it the shrimp sweats?
Yeah, you could eat quite a bit of shrimp, though.
They're little guys.
Yeah, and I mean, they're not fried, right? It's the regular shrimp. I mean, yeah. Fried shrimp would be quite a chore, but those regular shrimp, there's nothing to those.
It's not St. Elmo shrimp, which is the size of a finger.
Yeah.
They're just little ones, right?
Hammer and I had a St. Elmo shrimp cocktail eating contest.
Was it
one time?
Who could eat the most?
Well, it was the fastest because I think Joey Chestnut.
Yeah.
That was that day Joey Chestnut came in and Nigel shockingly was not at work. And surprisingly, I beat Hammer in the St. Elmo's cocktail shrimp eating contest on the air.
And
wanted
look at
to
you
die
now.
Afterwards.
Yeah. How many did you eat?
Well, it was a pound.
Okay.
It was a weight, but you had to have it with that cocktail sauce.
Which is hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And when you're trying to eat it fast,
Do you have a water there with you?
I was dead.
Yeah. Did you sweat afterwards? Were you like...
Everything. It was horrible. Like, your insides are on fire. And you don't know it until really you're done. I mean, you can tell it's hot when you're eating it, but you don't really start feeling it because you're eating so fast.
Pay for it the next day.
Well, no, it was that day was just...
Yeah, day. Very good.
It
Quick
was
return.
Bad. Yeah.
Okay, so we did get a couple phone calls about politics, and here is one person's opinion on who we have on the ballot.
Hey, Rob. Hi, Casey. I listen to you guys every day, and I feel very fortunate that we've got you guys there to give us all this new information and updates and all these crooks, I call them, wanting to be elected to office. I don't know if I'll vote for any of them this year. But anyway, I love your show, and forget about them morons calling in and complaining about you. Just write them off. They're nuts.
Who complains
like
about
her.
Us? Nobody complains about
Double
us.
Double her pay.
She's in a situation I think a lot of people are thinking, like, I don't know if I want to vote for any of them.
Well, the only thing I would tell that person is you do need to go vote for the delegates. You got to put the effort into the delegates. The delegates are the most important thing you're going to vote on this year. Got to find out who the MICA voters are. You got to vote for the delegates. But I'm with her. Most of my ballot will be left left blank.
Earn the vote. And if they haven't earned it, don't give it.
I mean, I think I'm going to protest vote for governor. I'm going to vote for U.S. rep. I'm going to vote for the delegates. I'm going to vote against Jeff Thompson in my state house race. That's it, I think.
Yeah.
Unless there's some other thing I'm not thinking about.
Well, you have changed the mind of one person and how he's going to be voting.
Good morning, Robin, Casey. Woohoo! Spring is here. Rob, I hope you're sitting down. And Casey, you might want to make sure he's secure because I had an awakening last night.
Ooh.
Yep, I've gone from a long-term registered Republican to an independent. Mike Braun pushed me over the edge. Yep, oh, Mr. Braun. Yeah, I sent him an email regarding our high property taxes, not only in Indianapolis, but in northern Indiana. And lo and behold, That was on March 11th. And can you believe he did not respond to me? Now, you'd like to think that he would at least come on a homegrown radio station and get asked some good questions. Well, Mr. Braun, if you are afraid to go on WIBC, I sure can't trust you to be the leader of this state. Well, anyway, Rob, Casey, thank you so much for helping me see the light and getting me on the straight and narrow path. Have a great day and keep up what you're doing. We need you.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Thank you for the call. Now, to be fair, Mike Braun has been on WIBC. He's
yes.
been on with Tony Katz. He's been on with Hammer and Nigel.
He will not come on with us, though.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
So, look, and Braun's probably going to win, and this guy's right on. Braun is going to do nothing. And I have some guy yesterday probably. Here is what I said yesterday, Casey, and sometimes my own brilliance just blows my mind away.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to invite the vampire not only into your house, but hand the vampire your neck and say, have a bite,
mm-hmm.
you can't be mad when the vampire drains your blood.
Yeah.
And these people who are voting for Braun, or the overwhelming amount of these incumbents that are running for re-election in the state house or state senate races, these people have shown you who they are. Their voting record is what matters. And if you're going to buy their bull crap after years of doing the exact opposite, then you don't get the right to complain. We went through this same thing in 2022 with Todd Young. We went through the same thing in 2022 with Diego. We told you who these people are. We told you what they were. We told you what they were going to do. And then yet people are outraged over what they did, or in Diego's case, really hasn't done. They look at who they've always been.
They're telling you. Okay, one last phone call. And you know whose campaign we've probably helped more than anyone is Raju's.
Oh, yeah.
With all the talk of him. And here's a funny about that.
You know, something from a long time ago about Mr. Raju. I wonder if he's related to the 1930s master of teleportation and other mystical powers, the magician Shandu. See you later.
Raju Shandu.
Abracadabra. I have no idea who he's talking about, Shandu.
No idea. Hammer's next.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's in front of 11 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC, and Hammer is in the studio. Good morning.
I got a lot of problems with you people.
Oh, no.
And now you're going to hear about it.
Oh, okay. Great.
Famous words of Festivus from George Costanza's
father. Can we
father?
Do feats of strength instead?
Like, I know this is a sidebar conversation, but where does the Festivus episode rank in terms of all-time Seinfeld?
It's number one.
It's up there for sure. I also love the one where Kramer is the volunteer firefighter. the Ass Man is good too.
Serenity Now,
mm-hmm. yes.
certainly on the list. You've got the one where the Johnny Cock, Jackie Childs. There's a couple times he pops up.
The Marine Biologist, so
yeah.
good.
They're all everything,
Hole
but the
one.
Finale is strong. I mean, how do you have that great a show and then have that bad of a finale?
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's Festivus today because
oh,
it's an airing of grievances
oh,
here.
No.
They're
for
real
both of you.
And they're wow. spectacular.
So let's start with Rob.
Yes.
So earlier you were talking about how amazing you look now
yeah,
compared
you.
To you did like
she said it
10 what was it 10
14 years ago.
Years ago 14 years
we
ago
put the photo up for everybody to see
mm-hmm.
you just now became a dad. Like, you don't get to do the victory lap when you haven't had kids.
Oh.
So think about when the president goes into the White House. They take that presidential picture before and what he looks like
and
when
then
he comes
all gray.
Out.
Yeah.
And they're gray and there's bags under their eyes. Yeah. And it looks like they've seen some things. Like, you're a new dad. Mm-hmm. Let's take this picture 5 years from now and we'll see that youthful experience of the late nights, the trips to the hospital, the kids sick. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? Mm-hmm. Kids put an aging on you, my friend.
I'd like to point out that I weigh the my kid is 9 months old now, and I
9 months old. Sit down.
Almost 10, and I weigh the exact same as I did 10 months ago. I put on 0 pounds during that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I'm doing pretty well.
You're like that one baseball player that hits a home run on opening day, and he looks over at Bryce Harper and goes, "You know, I'm leading in home runs."
Just call me Bavacqua.
So why do you sit the conversation out, new dad? Because you have no idea the amount of aging you're about to do in the next, oh, I don't know, 18 years of your life. Get ready, Bal. You're going to be in for a problem.
Don't you love he stewed on that? That was a long time ago.
Hold on, you're cutting into my time. And as for you, Missy,
yeah,
I'm about tired of you sitting on your high horse, acting like Greg Doyle is so inappropriate when you did the same thing to Chuck Pagano. You bullied your way up to the bar. You made sexual overtones. You sat on his lap. You nibbled on his ear. You gave him everything but a lap dance. But, oh, Greg Doyle's the bad guy. He's so inappropriate. You're the problem. Won't you look in the mirror, Missy?
I did none of those things, for one. And the other thing that I think was highly inappropriate is the 30-year age difference. Some people were saying he's flirting with her. That's not appropriate. When
I bet Chuck's close to that older than you are.
I doubt it.
He's not 107.
Because you missed other part of the conversation where I said,
Hold on, you got to let that joke sink in for just a second. That was a joke grenade by Ron.
Thank you.
You tell it, you pull the pin, you wait 3 seconds, but bam, comedy explosion.
Hey, she left out a major part of the story, though, the other day, that he wasn't just sitting there trying to watch the Masters. He was trying to play the ponies or something. He was
gambling.
Yes.
There's nothing dudes enjoy more than being by themselves, having some beer, bellied up, watching sports and gambling. And here comes this barfly trying to take him home that night while your husband's sitting over there on his hand.
I was not trying to take him home. And if you think that I don't have enough social graces to know when I'm being blown off, he was asking me questions about my daughter and my family. And when he went on continually and said, "Oh, what is she studying?" And I said, "Biology." And he said, "My daughter studied biology too. What is she going to do with hers? Here's what my daughter did." He was engaged in the conversation.
You mean a former NFL coach is good at small talk? Oh my God, I can't believe it.
And
perhaps,
you know what?
Over 1,000 press conferences finally paid off, Casey. Are you that naive? Leave the man alone. No one wants to be around you and your barfly ways.
Wow. Get out of here. By the way, we buried the lead on the whole meeting Chuck Pagano day.
Yeah.
I won $1,500 at the casino that day.
That's the story.
Yeah, that's good.
That needs to be
And
the
you know what? If you were nicer to me, I'd give you tips on how I'm a winner.
You
it's
played a
Kendall
slot machine.
Casey
There's no
on
tips.
93
what's coming up this afternoon?
Thank you for letting me promote my show.
It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.